As we continue in worship this day, we have the opportunity to read upon the scriptures. We're going to be reading from the Gospel of Luke, the third chapter, verses 15 through 17, and then jumping to verses 21 through 22. Hear these words from the Gospel of Luke. As the people were filled with expectation, and all were questioning in their hearts concerning John, whether he might be the Messiah, John answered all of them by saying, I baptize you with water, but the one who is more powerful than I is coming, and I'm not worthy to untie the thong of his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand to clear his threshing floor and to gather the wheat into his granary, and the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire. Now, when all the people were baptized, and when Jesus also had been baptized and was praying, the heavens opened, and the Holy Spirit descended upon him in bodily form like a dove. And a voice from heaven said, You are my Son, the Beloved, with whom I am well pleased. This is the word of the Lord for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Amen. Let us pray. Holy and gracious God, we give you thanks for this time of worship together, for the opportunity to be together in this place, to hear a word from you, to be together and love on one another, and as we strive to grow in our faith and become more like you each and every day in our love and compassion and peace. God, I ask that you speak through me and in spite of me this day, that your word might be proclaimed and we might hear what you would have to say to us today. We pray this in Christ's holy name. Amen. Well, in today's scripture that I just read, we hear Luke's account of the baptism of Jesus. The baptism of Jesus is found in all four of the Gospels, and it's another way in which we learn about Jesus' love for the people. We learn about God's love for his Son and our role through the power of the Holy Spirit to follow the example of Jesus in a real tangible way. The story today starts off by talking about John the Baptist. He's one of the most dramatic and unforgettable characters in the New Testament. He's dressed in unusual clothes, we read, and he has a wild look in his eye and an urgency in his voice, kind of rugged, unkempt. He came onto the scene exhorting people and to be baptized. In John 1, we read about John. It says that there was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, the light being Jesus, so that through him all might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. He was baptizing all the people who confessed their sins and desired the change in their hearts and life. John's baptism was about a cleaning on the outside and symbolic of a cleaning on the inside. On a regular basis, people would line up there at the river and to meet John the Baptist, and they were, as they were lining up, probably in an attitude and a wonder of what is to come. They were wondering if John might be the Messiah. And so we read in the scripture that John is very clearly saying, I am not the Messiah, but there's one who is to come after me. He said, I baptize you with water, but among you stands one you do not know, and he comes after me, and I'm not even worthy to tie the sandals or untie the sandals on his feet. He will baptize you not with water, but with fire and the Holy Spirit. And here in the Gospel of Luke, we see that John's proclamation became real for the people. What John was talking about came to be, and Jesus showed up at the river. You know, sometimes we hear something being proclaimed on the radio or read about it and watch it on a commercial or read about it in a magazine or in the newspaper, and we get excited like everyone else and we think, finally, exactly what I need. We get in line and we sit there and we take pictures of where we are and we make phone calls thinking that hopefully or maybe we'll be fulfilled, that this whatever is whole in our heart will be filled. Maybe it's a visit from a political candidate or a celebrity, and if we could just shake their hand, or maybe it's a new gadget or electronic device or gaming system, or I'm sure, y'all play games? PS5? Maybe it's a chance to win the lottery, and we stand in line thinking if we just win this, you know, $100 million or $1 billion, we'll be able to pay off the debt for the church and it's gonna have to be one. I haven't played lately, so people line up to hopefully find fulfillment and security, and however, maybe our number's not called. Maybe it's not as advertised, and we buy it, and then the next week something else comes out, and we're like, oh, I should have waited. We just wait in line once again, hoping to be fulfilled. But friends, we won't find the fulfillment in standing in line with the world. We find fulfillment as we stand in line with Christ. When Jesus began his public ministry at the age of 30, he did not go and command an audience with the emperor or even with the governor, but he made his way to the river with those who were lost, who had assembled, maybe those who were broken, maybe those who were wandering. He went to where the people were gathered there. Why would the Jesus of Nazareth, the only one who's ever walked the earth without sin, present himself to be baptized? Well, he came to be with the people in solidarity with the nation in a world of sinners. He joined with everyone who was broken by the wear and tear, by the wonder, by the sin of this world, who had given up on themselves and was trying to begin anew. He was among the people waiting for the Messiah to come, and he met with them and heard about their current difficulties. He identified with the broken and damaged. That's how Jesus began his ministry. You know, around Christmas every year, you can expect a few things. I miss all the Christmas trees and all the lights that were decorating our sanctuary last week and the plants, but around Christmas every year, you get caroling, and you get lights, and you get trees, and you get gifts. But on the TV, you also get the movie It's a Wonderful Life. And in the movie, It's a Wonderful Life, things are not going well for George. He feels as though he's at his wit's end. He owes a bunch of money and is worth more dead than alive, and he doesn't know what else to do. Things are just going and kind of downhill for him. He just got punched in the face. He doesn't know how things will ever get any better. And so there's a part of the movie that he just ends up running towards the side of a bridge. And so I just want to play a short clip here. Kyle, if you want to turn the lights down a little bit.
Help! Help! Help!
With master lights. There you go.
Help! 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 Help!
I didn't have time to get some stylish underwear. Wife gave me this on my last birthday. I passed away in it. Oh, Tom Sawyer's drying out, too. You should read the new book Mark Twain's writing now.
How did you happen to fall in?
I didn't fall in. I jumped in to save George.
You what? To save me?
Well, I did, didn't I? You didn't go through with it, did you?
Go through with what?
Suicide.
Oh, it's against the law to commit suicide around here.
Yeah, it's against the law where I come from, too.
Where do you come from?
Heaven. I had to act quickly. That's why I jumped in. I knew if I were drowning, you'd try to save me. You see, you did. And that's how I saved you.
Very funny.
Your lip's bleeding, George.
Yeah. I got a bust in the jaw in answer to a prayer a little bit ago.
Oh, no, 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 George. I'm the answer to your prayer. That's why I was sent down here.
How'd you know my name?
Oh, I know all about you. I've watched you grow up from a little boy.
What are you, a mind reader or something? Well, who are you then?
Clarence Oddbody, AS2.
Oddbody? AS2, what's that, AS2?
Angel, second class. Cheerio, my good man.
You can catch the whole movie next Christmas. Clarence Oddbody, AS2, Angel, second class. You know, sometimes God meets us in different ways in order to meet our needs, to show us that we matter, to love us where we are, to show us that we're important, needed, and valuable. You know, I'm leading a service. I'm a volunteer chaplain with the fire department here, and for the second time in about less than 6 months, I'm leading a service for a firefighter, and in this case, someone who had been battling some depression, who couldn't see the good and couldn't see the beauty that he was to his family and to the world, how much he was valuable and loved. And I believe that now Brian is dwelling with Jesus, and I think the hope is that we can help others know that they're important, needed, loved, and that there's nothing that can void this. Jesus met people at the river to tell them that how much he loved them and wanted to be in relationship with them. And from the beginning, he was humble in his actions and relationships and did whatever he took to relate to us right where we are. And Jesus wasn't baptized because he had sinned, but Jesus' baptism was God's anointing of him, God's commissioning of him to a mission of servanthood. He was in relationship. Through those relationships, people began to follow him. It was about being present with the people so that they might know God's love that comes through God's disciples to form relationships, to welcome brothers and sisters in Christ. For you might only be the only example of Christ that someone might experience, and you might be just that answer to prayer. None of us are here by chance. But God's here with us, meets us here. And so no matter where you find yourself, I think the important thing is to know that you have a purpose, that you have a calling beyond yourself, a unique role in the kingdom of God. After Jesus was baptized and came out of the water, we hear the voice from heaven. It says, "You are my son, the beloved. With you I am well pleased." Friends, as you leave this place today, may you hear those words from Christ saying, "You are my daughter. You are my son, my beloved. I have called you by name. With you I am well pleased. You are loved." And may you never forget that. Let us pray. God, we love you and we thank you for this time together. We thank you for meeting us at the river and meeting us at the church house and meeting us at the park and at the school and at our work and at our house. For calling us by name and telling us how much you love us and reminding us over and over again of that. And so may we be witnesses of that love, and may we share that love with those around us. God, be with us today and in the days to come. Be with Brian's family as we celebrate his life on Tuesday. And may you work through even this challenging and difficult situation to help others and to remind others of your great love that you have for them. Lord, we love you and we thank you. It's in your holy name we pray. Amen.